chapter 5. We'll begin in verse 1. We're actually going to read all the way through verse 15 and then look at this and see what it has to say to us this morning. We know that God speaks through His living Word, that His Word is perfect, without error, and we can learn from it and base our life on it. So let's read Luke chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon Him to hear the Word of God, He stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed Him that He would thrust out a little from the land. And He sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when He had left speaking, He said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto Him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at Thy word I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were the partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing, according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities." Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Dear Heavenly Father, we see the wonderful miracles you did to show who you were back 2,000 years ago. And Lord, we know, if we're believers, the wonderful miracle you've done in our hearts and our lives to change us and make us a new creature. Lord, I pray that we would live according to that calling, live according to your word. And Lord, if some of us here do not know what that is to be born again, to be saved from our sins, to put our faith and trust in you, Lord, I pray that we would do that today. Lord, help us as we look at your passage here, look at your word, that we can grow and we can be doers of the word and not hearers only. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. All right, so this began by Lake Gennesaret, which is Luke calls it Gennesaret. It was the Sea of Galilee also. It's the same body of water. And so they're by the Sea of Galilee. And I think the first thing I see that's interesting, as we see in verse 1, that the people pressed upon him to hear what? To hear the word of God. I mean, they were pressing upon him. They wanted to hear the word of God. And that should be our joy. I think as believers, if we hear the word of God, we hear it read, we hear it preached, we should have joy in that. We should love hearing that and just be, you know, we're saying amen, or inside we're saying amen, because we hear the word of God. And I can't imagine hearing Jesus' actual voice and his actual teaching and his mannerisms, but they wanted more and more, and they pressed upon him. And so may we be people that are pressed and we desire to hear the word of God. And because that's how we live. The words of this book give life. And so because they were pressing on it so greatly, he got two ships that were sitting there, pushed out a little bit from the sea. And we read in verse 3, he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's. Now, this was Simon, the son of Jonah, and Jesus gave Simon the name what? Peter. So we hear him both called Simon and Peter, or Simon Peter, same person. Jesus, a lot of times when he met somebody, he changed their name. Let's go real quick to John chapter 1 to just look at what I believe is the first time that Jesus met Peter. Because he didn't just take Peter's boat without knowing who Peter was. And obviously he knows who we all are. But Peter knew Jesus as well. In John chapter 1, verse 35, this would be at the time that Jesus was about ready to be baptized by John the Baptist. John chapter 1, verse 35, again, this was actually right after he was baptized by John the Baptist. Again, the next day after, John 1, verse 35, John stood, that's John the Baptist, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples of John the Baptist heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. And so that is where Peter, or here we see Cephas, or Simon, we got all these names, all the same person, first met Jesus. His brother came and said, Come see the Messiah, the Christ. And so he came and Jesus said, I'm going to call you, you're Simon, you're the son of Jonah. I'm going to call you Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. And we know the name Peter, you know, means stone. If you have petrified wood, that means the wood was turned into stone. Petra or Peter means stone. And so that's the first time Jesus met Peter. But here, Peter, he wasn't called by Jesus to be one of the 12 apostles and to follow everything. Peter went back to his living, which was fishing. And so Peter knew who Jesus was, but Peter was still a fisherman. And that's where we find him in Luke chapter 5. So back in Luke 5, Peter was fishing and he fished all night long. Him and Andrew and James and John, which are the sons of Zebedee, these four guys that would become Jesus, four of Jesus' 12 apostles, these guys were fishermen on the Sea of Galilee. And they fished all night long. And their boats were sitting on the shore. And so Jesus asked Peter if he would thrust them out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. I think something interesting in verse 3, it says he prayed Peter that he would push him out a little bit. So what does it mean that he prayed Peter to push him out a little bit? He did what? He asked. And so praying is asking. And God wants us to ask. And when we pray, we can praise him. But prayer at its basic thing is asking God. And we're told to ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Jesus said those words. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. We are to ask because asking for our daily bread, asking for protection on the road, asking for these things, what does that show? Our trust. It shows our humility before him. Like Rock, he can't get himself a drink. He asks me for a drink all the time. Because he knows he can't do it on his own. When we know we cannot do things on our own, we will ask. If we think we can do everything, we're not going to ask. So we are to ask. And not to satisfy the lusts of the flesh, but we're to ask for those things that he's promised us. We're to ask for things that we know are in his will. We're to ask, as we saw in Sunday school, for others, for their protection. And so here we see him praying or asking Simon to push him out a little from land. Verse 4. Now when he had left speaking, so he's done speaking, I guess I wanted to talk a little bit about Jesus. When he was speaking, he for sure gave the gospel. He talked about sin. He talked about righteousness. He talked about judgment. But he also taught much more. And the Bible's full of information. And we are to teach all. I mean, Jesus, there's so much that he did and so much that he said that the whole world cannot contain the books and the acts that he did. And so Jesus taught so much. And the Word of God teaches so much. It teaches us how to be saved. And Jesus came into the world to save sinners. But the Bible also teaches us how to live. It teaches us how to act towards others. It teaches us how to act towards the government. The Word of God is full of information. And Jesus, His Word, I mean, He taught all kinds of things. And in His parables, He taught all kinds of things. And Paul, when he was preaching, says in Acts chapter 20 that he has not shunned to declare unto them all the counsel of God. And so we need to take all the counsel from Genesis to Revelation. We believe it, we read it all, and we take counsel from all the Word of God. And so he taught them, and then when he was done teaching, he said to Simon, he said in verse 4, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. So he gave a command. He said, launch out and let down your nets. Now what were the nets doing at this time? They were doing what in verse 2? Washing their nets. So they were done. They fished all night long, right? That's what he said. We fished all night. We haven't got anything. But they had their boats up on land. They were washing their nets. So I always think of, maybe Miss Tawny, you've done this before. It's closing time at Wendy's, and you're cleaning up the grill, and then somebody walks in, and they want a hamburger. You know, you're clean. You know, you always. I never want to order at that time because they just got everything cleaned up. But so they had washed their nets. They were done. And Jesus said, launch out, let down your nets. So it had to be kind of like, oh, man, it's We're done, you know. We're washing the nets. But it was a command to Simon, to Peter. And Peter knew who Jesus was. He was the Messiah. He had already seen that. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, he called him Master, but he says, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. So the first thing that he does is try to kind of say, that's not going to work, Lord. We've toiled all night, we haven't taken anything. Simon really thought, this was the Master, this was Jesus, yes, and this was the command. But he's like, that doesn't make sense. We've toiled all night, we've taken no fish. You know, basically saying, Jesus, you don't understand the situation. God, you know, I know you mean well, that's the command, but really, we've done this. We've toiled all night. We caught nothing. Right? Now, if it was me, I would understand. I'm just a bad fisherman. Right? But somebody like Roy, let's say, he caught nothing all night. He'd say, something's going on here. But he caught no fish. And he would know it's not because of him. It's because there's no fish out there right now in this area of the sea. So he said, Lord, we toiled all night and have gotten nothing. It doesn't make sense to go out and do that. But he said, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And so he didn't think it made sense to obey the Lord. It didn't make sense to him. Didn't think it was going to work. He really didn't have that believing faith right there that, I mean, God tells you to do it, you do it. The Lord tells you to do it, you do it. He calls him Master, but then he's not wanting to really agree with what he says. But the good thing about Peter is he did then obey. He was tired, he was worn out, he was frustrated. I mean, this was their living, catching fish. I can't imagine, you know, you work all night. Imagine if you worked all day and you got no pay. You just spent all your night for nothing. You spent all your day for nothing. This wasn't recreational fishing, catch and release stuff. Although I think they did release these fish. They forsook all of them and just left them. So this is the first catch and release. So, but this was their livelihood, was catching fish. I can't imagine the frustration of all night being out there not catching any fish. Then he tells you to go back out after you're cleaning your nets. He says, nevertheless, at that word, I will. And so he obeyed. He didn't understand the situation. He didn't understand, you know, why God would tell him, why the Lord would tell him to do this. But he did obey. We know in Wisdom Warriors on Wednesday nights, we're learning a verse, you know, as an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, beautiful things, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. Being obedient is something that's beautiful. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 15, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Who was that spoken to? Saul. Samuel said, Saul, to obey is better than sacrifice. God wants our obedience, even if we don't understand. Even if we don't know why or know where or know how, God wants our obedience. I mean, Peter could have said, well, Jesus, we've cleaned our nets, the boats are up here. How about I just take you out to eat or something, you know? That would have been a sacrifice on Peter's part. He would have had to pay for the meal, or maybe I'll stay up and listen to your teacher. But God doesn't want the sacrifice. He wants the obedience. And that's what is good about Peter. He said, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, verse 6, when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. Because of his obedience, he was able to see a miracle. And he knew it was a miracle because he fished all night. He was a fisherman. This was his livelihood. He knew, you know, what fishing was like, and he saw this amount of fish when he said there was no fish. He knew this could be no other than a miracle by Jesus Christ. But he was able to see the miracle. He's able to see God's power because he was first obedient, even if he didn't understand what was going on. And they beckoned on to James and John so that they could come out. And when Simon Peter saw it in verse 8, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Why would he say that? Why would he say depart from me? Why did this get Peter to where he's fallen down saying, I'm not worthy of being around you? You know, I failed. And he saw this was a work of God. He saw who Jesus was, and he knows what his heart was before. He did not want to do it. He did not believe it. He said, we've worked all night, we caught nothing. He didn't understand. He was of little faith. Oh, ye of little faith. Peter was in that case right there. But nevertheless, he obeyed. But the Bible says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And so it was sin to doubt God. To not believe in God's promises, not take God at His word is sin. And for us, when we read the Word of God, when we hear the Word of God, When the Holy Spirit speaks to us, for us to doubt it is sin. We take God's word for what he says and obey it. But Peter says, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." And when we're close to Christ, when we're close to seeing his power, I mean, that really shines a light on who we are, and we can see our sinfulness. We can see those things. Sometimes, you know, when we're closest to Christ, closest to God, that's when we see our shortcomings the most. It's when we're farthest away that we think we're fine. We're good. We're a good person. But the closer we get to God, the closer we're to his word, the more we can see ourselves and where we do fall short. Verse 10. And so also was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, the sons of thunder, we read, I think, in Mark. And they were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. I will make you fishers of men." And so he said, you know, you've been fishing for these fish. That's been your job. That's been your livelihood. That's been what you've been all about. That's what you did, was fish for fish. But fear not, I will make you fishers of men. He's speaking to these four fishermen in Galilee. He is going to make them fishers of men. It wasn't God's plan for them to continue fishing. It was God's plan for them, and they ended up fulfilling that plan, preaching and teaching and evangelizing and going around and eventually giving their life for the gospel. But it's from their witness and their testimony that the church started, that Christianity began. And those people, they fished for more men, and those people fished for more men, and the fishing has gone on until today. And we are, a lot of us, the result of, well, we all are the result of somehow hearing the word of God, which was preached. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so still, we are called to be fishers of men. Like I pointed out earlier, this fishing, they were fishermen. They weren't just like, you know, go out for fun fishing. That was their whole purpose. That, not their whole purpose. That was their whole main job in life. And that was now not to catch fish. Now their whole purpose, their whole main job in life was to be fishers of men. Not just every now and then, but all the time. Now they would begin to draw souls into the kingdom of heaven. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him, verse 11 says. They left everything. So they left the net. They had this catch of fishes, a fish that, I don't know if they brought him in or not, if they sunk the boats and just said, well, we get the point, Jesus. I don't know. But they left the fish, they left the nets, they left the boat, and they followed Jesus Christ. Is there anything that you would not leave to follow Jesus Christ? If there's something else that is your treasure that you would not leave to follow Jesus Christ, that's where your heart is. That's where your treasure is. We need to ask ourselves that question. Would we leave whatever it is for Jesus Christ? Would we forsake all for him? The Bible says in Luke 14, "Whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple." To follow Jesus Christ requires forsaking things that we valued. I mean, it's uncomfortable. We read in the Bible, in the New Testament, I mean, it means forsaking family in some cases. If they could be family, could be friends, could be a job, could be what you did for entertainment. I mean, there's things that we will forsake for the sake of Jesus Christ. This was the first example of people forsaking all and following Jesus. But it's been done for 2,000 years. People forsake all and follow Jesus. Have you and would you do that? That's a pretty radical statement to say, if you don't forsake all you have, you cannot be my disciple. Move on here to this next section, verse 12. And it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy. So there's a man, there's a leper. Where would the leper be? Outside the city, because he cannot have fellowship with those inside the city, because he has this leprosy, this uncurable skin disease that is contagious. They're put out away outside the city. And people come and throw bread to him. They keep their distance, but throw food to him so they can stay alive. But they live with other lepers. They can't be part of the rest of the city. They can't be part of their family. So they're outcasts from society. So this man sees Jesus. It says in verse 12, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, he beseeched him, saying, "Lord, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. So that is, this man is full of faith on something like leprosy, which could not be cured, but he believed on Jesus Christ that he could make him clean. Where Peter doubted, where Peter said, well, we've worked all night, this man totally falls down on his face and beseeches Jesus, says, Lord, if you will, if it's your will for me, you can make me clean. And I think we can see the spiritual application here. Jesus went around doing miracles, but I don't think just for miracle's sake. He did it to show his power. He also did. He knew that today we'd be reading from this, and people all over the world for 2,000 years have read this account, and he can see that if he can clean leprosy, when somebody beseeches God, if it's God's will, they can be clean of leprosy. We also, if we beseech God, we can be cleansed from our sins. Let's go to Psalm 51. Because we know God has power, and Jesus is God. We know He has power over sin, over the physical, over leprosy. He brought people back from death. We know He has power over that. But we also know that He has power to forgive sins, as we're going to see here in Luke in just a little bit. He has power to forgive sins if we beseech Him, if we call upon the name of the Lord. And here in Psalm 51, we see David, after a grievous sin, calling upon God to cleanse him. Just like this leper was on his hands and knees praying and calling upon Jesus to cleanse him. We read in Psalm 51, have mercy upon me, O God. And we can take this verse, these verses, and know that no matter what we've done, no matter where we've been, no matter what sin we've done, we can call upon the name of the Lord. And we can say these words, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. Because God is loving, God is kind. According unto thy multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. God can wash us from our iniquity. God can cleanse us from our sin. Look down in verse 7. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. God can do that for us. God could, if it was Jesus' will to heal the leper, He could heal the leper immediately. If it's Jesus' will to God's will to heal us from our sin, to cleanse us from our sin, He can and will do that immediately. Who has power to forgive sins but God alone? And He can. Jesus Christ was God. God calls on us to. We read in Isaiah chapter 1, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God can wash us. He can cleanse us from our sin. And He's the only one that can do that. We cannot get our cleanse washed by going and getting sprinkled by holy water, as I saw at a funeral the other day. Okay, we can't go get our sins cleansed by confessing to a priest or doing stuff like that. It is only through God. It's only through the blood of Jesus Christ. And we can go straight to the throne of grace through Jesus Christ and call on Him and ask Him to wash us, to cleanse us, if it is God's will. Let's go back to Luke chapter 5. So if it is God's will, He can forgive us of sins. He can wash us of our sins. If it's God's will, He could cleanse this man of leprosy. Verse 12, Luke chapter 5, verse 12. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he, Jesus, put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. It was Christ's will for him to be clean of leprosy that day. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. Now, if we call upon the name of the Lord, we acknowledge our sin, we acknowledge our transgression, that we have broken God's law, that we need forgiveness, we need to be washed of sin because we're separated from God. God can have no fellowship with the darkness that we have. What concord has light with darkness? God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And our sin, the things we've done in our life, is darkness. We're just like that leper. We're alienated from God. But God can cleanse us of our sin, just like Jesus Christ cleansed this man of his leprosy. We can be cleansed if we call and beseech God to cleanse us, if it's His will, and praise the Lord, it is His will. It is His will for you, for me, for the whole world to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2, verse 4, but Jesus, God, who will have all men to be saved. It's His will that all men are saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. He wants to see the Word of God preached to men and for those men and women to hear the Word of God and to beseech Him and call upon Him for salvation. That means you. It's Jesus' will for you to be cleansed of your sin. If we call upon Him. If we look at this leper and we identify with a leper and we fall on our face and we beseech God and say, Lord, make me clean. Just like David said, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Create in me a clean heart. We must come to Him and ask Him for it, just like this leper did. Come to Him in faith. And this man came to Jesus Christ in faith, did he not? And he was cleansed when? Immediately. Immediately the leprosy departed from him. And Jesus, in verse 14, charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing, according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. So Jesus said first, he did say tell no man, which we'll talk about, but he said go to the priest, just like Moses commanded. Jesus did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. The law of Moses said, if somebody thought they were cured, they should go to the priest, and he would pronounce them clean. And so he said, go to the priest. He said also, go, and it says at the end of verse 14, for a testimony unto them. The works that he did were a testimony to who he was. They could look upon the miracles he did, and they could know that he was the Son of God. They could know that he was the Christ. But he also told him to go and tell no man. And a lot of times Jesus, when he did a miracle, said, don't tell anybody, just go to the priest, do this. I don't think Jesus came primarily wanting to be known as that you can come to him and you can get fed and you can get, healed of things. Because primarily Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. He showed his power in these miracles, but he didn't just come to get rid of all sickness. Otherwise all sickness would be gone. He came to get rid of the main problem in our lives, the main problem in the world, which is sin. That's where sickness comes from. He came to deal with the problem of sin. And we know that in the future, there will be a time when He comes back and reigns, so there will be no sickness. But for right now, we know there will be. But we know that our problem with God is sin. And Jesus has paid the price. He's paid the penalty. He shed His blood for our sin. So I guess I want to ask you today, do you know, like this leper, that he was cleansed? The leper would have known right away. He could look, he was a new creation. He could look at his arm, and there was no doubt. He knew that Jesus had cleansed him. Do you know that Jesus, through the blood of Jesus Christ, has cleansed you of your sin? And I think we can know. It's clear as the leper. We can know that, yes, Jesus has worked a work in my life. I have placed my faith in Jesus Christ. I'm a new creation. All things are made new. I'm not who I was before. I don't have the same heart. I have a clean heart. Have you called upon Jesus Christ for salvation? Do you acknowledge your leprosy, as it were? And I think we see here that it's Jesus' will for us to be clean. It's Jesus' will for us to call on Him. And so we see two men, Peter and the leper. Peter had doubts. Peter didn't really think it was, but Peter was obedient. I will give Peter that. Are you being obedient to the Word of God? Are you being obedient to the Holy Spirit when He convicts you of sin and of righteousness and of judgment? We can be obedient, and by being obedient, we can open up ourselves to see God's power and see God's working in our lives. See God's working in, maybe it's a workplace situation at work. You're trying to be obedient with a certain worker or something. You know you should love them. You know you should love your enemies and pray for them that persecute you. That's tough to trust, but just be obedient. We can see God's working through that. In all kinds of areas where there's hard teaching, we can just obey. And we can see God's working through that. And we can grow in faith through our obedience. Are you fishing for men? That should be, we have to work. We know that. We know that we have to provide for our families. But at work, I mean, if Jesus, if we're praying constantly, if we're in constant communion with Christ, are we thinking about, are we fishing for men at work? Are we fishing for men and fellow students at school? Wherever we're at, is that what we're doing? Do we see ourselves as fishing for men and trying to draw people into the net of Christ so that they can be saved and letting them hear and see what Jesus Christ did for them? Like I said, these guys weren't recreational fishers just going and doing it every now and then. That was their life, and now their life is to be fishing for men, and that should be our life. So we do this other, God is first and foremost, and we serve Him with whatever and wherever we're at. Are we fishing for men? But I think the message we can see here is to obey, to walk in faith, to be fishing for men. And if you have not, call on Him. Get down on your hands and knees and just pray. I don't think it matters your position. But if you call upon the name of the Lord, thou shalt be saved. If you believe in thy heart that God has raised Jesus Christ from the dead and that He gave Himself, He gave His life, He shed His blood for your sins, for my sins, for the sins of the whole world. He didn't have to, but He did it because He so loved us. And He took upon Himself on that cross the punishment that we all deserved. And He went to the grave, and 3 days later He was risen again. He was raised by the power of God, showing that that sacrifice was sufficient for the sins of the world. It's through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone that we can and we must be saved. I just hope none of us are going around denying that we have leprosy, denying that we need a Savior, because we need a Savior. And Jesus Christ is that Savior. Will you bow your heads with me? Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the examples. Lord, I pray that we can be like Peter and be obedient. And that we can see Your work in our lives through our obedience. Even if we don't understand, Lord, may we be obedient. I pray that we can be fishers of men. That we can, at all times in our life, with all those around us, be thinking spiritually about their eternal lives and sharing with them the gospel, sharing with them the words of life. Lord, I pray that we can be cleansed by You, that each one of us here, there wouldn't be a soul here today that would hear these things and not call upon You if we have not. That we can know that we have eternal life through Your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, thank You for the examples You give us. Thank You for the clarity of Your Word. Lord, I thank You for each person here. Lord, I pray that You would be with us as we go our separate ways, and that we would be able to come back together again and rejoice in the love that You have for us, and allow us to love one another. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.